Being able to hear is something many of us likely take for granted. But for many children here in Idaho, being able to hear can come at a hefty price. Currently, private insurance does not cover the cost for most hearing aids that children who are either hard of hearing or deaf need, at least here in Idaho. So that's why some people are trying to require that private insurance carriers cover medically necessary hearing aids for Idaho kids. Last legislative session, Representative Alana Rubel sponsored a House concurrent resolution calling just for that. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Representative Rubel and Gretchen Fors, a council member on the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. Gretchen is also a mom of three children who require hearing aids. Welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
I'd like to start with you, Representative Rubel. Just walk us through this process and where you started and where we are now.
Well, we started last session with this resolution calling for the Department of Insurance to solve this problem. Actually, before that, it came to me when my fellow program attendee here, Gretchen Henry, she's one of my constituents, and alerted me to the situation because I had absolutely no idea that insurance didn't cover hearing aids for kids who are deaf and hard of hearing, and I was quite shocked to hear that. It seemed something that you would expect to be covered, but it wasn't. And we had an initial meeting that I thought was just going to be with a couple moms, and it was standing room only. We had, I think, 35 moms show up, and unbelievable stories came out of that. Some audiologists were there, some moms. I heard a story about a 16-year-old kid who had gone into an audiologist's office wearing the same hearing aid she'd had as a six-month-old, had basically, you know, lost her entire childhood from being, the thing had stopped working years ago, and had just lost years of her life from being able to participate and hear what was going on around her. And it became clear there were families all over the state that were either not getting hearing aids for their kids at all or having to really make deep sacrifices in necessary areas to cover it. So we passed this resolution calling on the Department of Insurance to work with insurers and change the rules so that they are covered. And we're smack in the middle of that right now. The new proposed rules are going to come out for public comment October 3rd. And we'll have a period of a 21-day period for them to receive comments, and then it'll go to the legislature in January.
And then the legislature will be the ultimate decision maker.
Exactly. They will have to sign off on the changed rule.
And Gretchen, as a mom of three children who require hearing aids, what is this like for your family? Financially and emotionally.
Well, it starts off very emotional, right? Like you have a baby, you think that they're doing great, and then someone tells you, oh, by the way, you know, they're diagnosed with hearing loss and they're going to need hearing aids. And then you say, okay, great. How much is that going to cost me? And then the next thing the audiologist tells you is, oh, by the way, these aren't going to be covered by your insurance. And then I said, you know, well, you mean we have to pay a copay or a big deductible or something? Oh, no, they're just not covered. So then it's, you know, I think, so I have three daughters who have hearing aids, and to upgrade all three of theirs this year, it's about $20,000. And there are some grants and great opportunities to get some help with that, but that's a lot of money, you know, for our bottom line. And this is also post-tax and dollars, and it can't be used out of our FSA funds. So it's not like we can save FSA funds to do this, so every year we replace one child, you know, every 3 years or something. Or that it's $20,000 post-tax income.
And how often do you have to upgrade their hearing aids?
The recommendation is about every 3 to 5 years. It also changes depending on their hearing loss. So we had to change a daughter sooner than we were planning because her hearing loss progressed and she lost more of her hearing and she needed an upgraded, you know, hearing aid model.
And $20,000, I mean, that's an annual income for some people.
Exactly. This is a huge burden. And it's a, you know, burden on our family and it's a burden on many families. And the other thing is, in Idaho, it's hard to qualify for Medicaid, especially without the expansion of Medicaid. There's a lot of families who fall in that gap. And this is real money and for something that they really need. And it's a lot of money. It's, you know, it's more than their mortgage.
Right. And one of the things that you said, Gretchen, before we came on the air was that a lot of times what researchers are finding now is that hearing loss is usually genetic. So you usually have more than one child with hearing loss.
In children, it tends to be more genetic. You know, as we age, there is hearing loss incident to old age. But for children, typically it's either genetic or it's due to illness or disease. So maybe meningitis or a high fever or, you know, babies who are in the NICU for a long periods of time can also have hearing loss. Some of the antibiotics they give infants in the NICU are known to cause hearing loss, too.
But then you have multiple children.
Right. And I have multiple children. And there, you know, Representative Rubel said 35 moms came to that first meeting we had. And that's what you need to realize is these are 35 moms who this impacts every single day. Not only do we deal with our children's hearing loss every single day, you know, making sure that the kids keep their hearing aids on, that they don't lose them, that they don't eat them, they don't feed them to the dog. You know, like, these are hard enough things anyways, right? But then also figuring out, like, they need new molds and that doesn't cover it. And that's $150 here and batteries there. And, you know, the extra help they need in school sometimes because, you know, they're a little bit behind. Mm-hmm. So it's a big burden for families.
Yeah. And Representative Rubel, I am fairly stunned by the fact that this is not covered. And I say that just
as was I.
Well, right. Just because you think it's medically necessary so that they can, so that when we're talking children, so that they can hear, you know, you can get vision insurance and get glasses for your child. And, you know, or there's medical insurance. So, you know, why would something that's medically necessary not be covered? Do other states cover this?
A lot of other states do cover it. It was really odd. It was just something in Idaho's rules saying that insurance companies don't have to cover hearing aids, period. And I don't know how it got there. I wish I understood how that piece of the rule got there, but it had been in there for a long time. And, you know, insurance companies, understandably, are there to make a profit, and they're not there to cover things that they don't have to cover, typically. And so they saw this rule, and they were pretty much saying, okay, we're not going to cover it. And, you know, there's significant downstream costs to society, to these families, mm-hmm. to everybody else. But you have this weird kind of disaggregation of the costs where there's cost to society from these kids needing specialists in schools and all kinds of extra costs, lost income in their lives and whatnot. But that's separate from the cost to the insurer. They're just looking at how can they follow their bottom line and you know, keep their costs to a minimum. So when we found that in the rules, that it was something in there specifically causing this carve-out, I was like, well, let's fix that. That's crazy. We gotta change that. And that's where we are right now.
I'm speaking with Representative Alana Rubel and Gretchen Fors. She is a council member on the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing and a mom of three children who require hearing aids. We're talking about a resolution that happened last legislative session about getting hearing aids, medically necessary hearing aids for children covered in Idaho. And Gretchen, one of the things that is interesting to me as well is that if I would assume that if this is caught early, there are things like speech therapy that may not necessarily be needed or needed as long. But if this is something where if a child starts to lose their hearing, you know, fairly young, or it's found, you know, let's say it's not found until, like you said, preschool, you've lost 3 to 4 years mm-hmm. of them learning how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So then you incur another cost, I would assume, with, you know, speech therapy, things like that. Not even talking about maybe needing to go into special classes when they get to school.
You're so correct. And one thing we sometimes forget is we hear with our ears, but we really hear with our brain. And so the most important thing we need to do is get that sound into children's brains. Like, if you think about hearing aids as little microprocessors that actually just process the sound and then send it to the brain, it helps you realize that those 0 to 3 is such a critical time in a child's development, that as we can input that sound correctly to their brain, that it will, you know, pay benefits for their whole lifetime.
And that's a key thing to keep in mind is, you know, there's a vanishing window here, cognitively speaking, mm-hmm. Where you have to catch that window where that part of the brain that does language and speech development is still operative and can still receive those feedbacks and build the way it's supposed to build. And if you miss that window, you can't jump back in. You can't jump in and give a 6-year-old a hearing aid for the first time and have them develop in the way they would have if they'd had that access when they were 0 to 3.
And then other things can happen, right? Gretchen, you were saying before the program that then sometimes we see this domino effect of if you can't hear and you're in school, you may be acting out and it may seem like it's a behavior problem. But what it is that you're not able to hear and understand what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm. And that's what not covering hearing aids has really causes this mild to moderate loss. Children who have mild to moderate loss may seem like they do fine, especially on a one-on-one situation with their parent, or even, you know, can kind of sometimes you'll hear, well, they have one good ear, that should be good enough, right? But what ends up happening in those, and that's where it's hard to tell a parent, you need to pay, you know, up to $5,000 for a hearing aid when the child hears, well, the parent thinks, well, good enough, right? But what that really does do is cause some of these issues down the road. So whether it's that they act like behavioral issues, you know, if you don't know what's going on, you start to kind of zone out or figure out, I don't know what that person's saying.
Right.
And that happens to all of us. But if that happens to you every single day, you can see why those children maybe don't listen attentively in class or don't pay attention or start to act out. And that can really create issues as they progress in their lives.
And then from there, it's just one of these things where you think about these children walking into school, and it is overwhelming enough as a little kid to start kindergarten or something like that. Then you add a hearing loss on top of it. But then you add the fact that maybe a parent doesn't have the means to pay for a hearing aid.
Yep.
This is just, I just see a domino effect happening, and we're talking about kids. We're not talking about adults, correct, Representative Rubel?
That's right. That's right. This rule change would pertain only to kids, although it would actually reach under the Affordable Care Act. Kids can stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26. So it would extend to young adults at least. But yes, unfortunately, adults are still on their own for getting hearing aids. But in triaging, it's really especially critical to reach these kids.
But that is the critical time, correct, Gretchen, is when it's finding that hearing loss young and being able to help them with hearing aids and with speech, things like that. It's
for
that
sure,
window,
for
correct?
Sure, for sure. And as soon as, you know, it's never... As soon as they get diagnosed, they need to be able to get the hearing aids that they need. And that's what some of the audiologists in town have talked about is... They can diagnose a child, but then they say, oh, now you have to pay this much. And it can take, you know, a year for the parents to come up with the money to want to, you know, pay or be on a payment plan for the, you know, what
for the rest,
like
of,
the
your
rest
life.
Of life.
Right? Well, you will be.
Which is what I feel like I am on.
Well, you have to be, though, if you have to replace it every 3 years.
Pretty much. I feel like we'll be on a payment program for the rest of our lives.
So, Representative Rubel, get us back caught up then. So, October 3rd, what happens October 3rd?
October 3rd, the official language of the rule will be released, and they will open up a 21-day comment period.
Is this for anyone to comment
on? Anyone can comment. We encourage supportive comments. I certainly hope people aren't going to write in saying, no, we don't want kids getting hearing aids. But they will collect all the public comments in that process, and then the record will be released ultimately in connection with the proposed rule change to the legislature, which will probably be voted on during the rules review period in January. But this has just been a triumph of civic engagement. These moms made this happen. They came out in force. I mean, they did everything a citizen is supposed to do. They raised the issue. They came to every public hearing at the Capitol last year with gut-wrenching testimony. Mm-hmm. They wrote in. They showed up at the Department of Insurance. At every stage in the game, they were there in force. And they're getting what they wanted. And it's just a wonderful lesson in civic engagement for all of us.
So it will go to the legislature, to be clear, for a vote.
Yes, unless something goes terribly wrong in the public comment period, it should come to the floor.
Well, I tell you, I've always said this, most moms will do anything for their kids, right? And don't tick off a mom.
These are the moms of the year.
Absolutely.
Led by Gretchen here.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in. Good luck with this next legislative session and with this resolution. My guests today, Representative Elena Rubel and Gretchen Forz, a council member on the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. I want to thank both of you for coming in again.
Thank you.
Thank you.